Jenny.
Kristen.
You know that our Super Bowl is coming up. What we
Mother's
like to do.
Day.
Mother's Day. It is approaching. And might I just say, it is also our 10-year anniversary, which is kind of exciting.
So send us flowers, everybody.
Wait, send us flowers. It's weird. We're going to tell you how to do that just right now. If you're still trying to figure out what to do for Mother's Day, look no further than Teleflora. It's a really great choice when you want to send something that feels genuinely thoughtful. Their bouquets are made by local florists and hand-delivered instead of just being packed up and shipped in a box.
I love Teleflora. You know, when I send your mom flowers, and I do believe I owe her some flowers right now because I need to send her some for Mother's Day.
Don't you do it before I do it.
When I do, I always use Teleflora because they're made by like local artists. I know it's going to get there on time. I know it's going to be beautiful. Just sending your mom flowers really like gives your mom, who's always feeling like, am I doing this right? Flowers are like, love you, mom. You are doing a good job. Here's the one day I'll remind you.
Use promo code IMOMSOHARD20 for 20% off bouquets now through Mother's Day. Again, that's teleflora.com. Promo code IMOMSOHARD20.
Sylvia's Synergy Effect, brought to you by Synergy Home Care.
Getting back in the kitchen got mom back into life. After her stroke, she felt uncomfortable doing what she used to do. But with her Synergy caregiver, Emma, things changed. She got help at home and regained the confidence to get back to her old recipes. Now the hardest thing is getting mom to stop making her biscuits. So good.
We believe getting back to what you love can keep you moving forward. Find your Synergy Effect with Synergy Home Care.
Are we rolling? Are we podcasting?
Are we? I didn't even know we were podcasting yet, Casey.
We like to talk for an hour.
Which I don't know why we don't just record that. I know why, because we would hurt people.
Because I don't want to hear about it from my parents.
Exactly.
Thank you for joining us at the hashtag IMOMSOHARD podcast. You can find us anywhere you listen to podcasts. You can also find us on TikTok, the Twitter, the Facebook, the YouTube. Friendly reminder, please share and follow and rate and subscribe,
it
all
helps
that crap.
Us.
We're very goal-oriented. It's like when your kid has to sell pizzas for a fundraiser, we end up doing it. Like, we need to hit a certain number.
By the way, anybody want to buy a banner for my school? Just, we need PE.
You know,
okay?
I always do. As long as I don't have to do anything and I can
give you
money.
You know what? We can do a banner and we can say 10% off your next purchase at IMOMSOHARD on our banner. And then, you know, so
10% off. What if you just,
you know, who's going to say,
what if you were
me,
like,
but that's okay.
For every 10% donation, Jen will take off 10% of her clothes.
You know what? I will. It's your funeral.
I think if we're looking at fundraising, we should have it be fundraising, if you
know
what I
mean.
So all the dads will be like, okay, well, it's weird. I all of a sudden want to give a lot of money. Casey's asking us a question.
Yeah. Am I okay to turn the air conditioner?
Yeah, you can hear it. Yeah. We'll just get toasty in here.
It's been 104,000 degrees.
That's Kristen's wearing.
I look like a parking cone.
She's wearing a prison jumpsuit today.
It's my homage to my life right now, you guys. I broke out of prison for today, and I'm not going home.
It's prison vacation wear, sort of what it is.
It's prison vacation.
Like a I love it. I love it.
It's kind of dumb. Here's the thing. I really love how our babysitter, Emma, dresses. She's, you know, looks very like French and cool, and she's
picture Audrey Hepburn
totally,
and then put freckles on her.
And then she's like so sweet, and she's like, you should shop at this. I love this store called Everlane. And so I went and shopped. But the problem is, like, you could put a garbage bag on Emma and it would look chic. And I was like, oh, this is not for my body type.
Oh, I will say though, you can watch this on YouTube. You can watch the video version of this. You have really pretty earrings on right now. Kristen's got, what are they? Uh-oh. They're Eleanor's. What are they?
They're her Minnie Mouse.
Oh, they're Minnie Mouse.
You guys, I find her earrings everywhere. And so I put them in my ears. And then they're so flipping cute.
Yeah.
You know, because she only wears like
like she'll wear like cupcakes or pieces of pizza or Same. Minnie Mouse earrings that I got. I know, right? She's so like cute. Blings out. And so then I put them in and then I forget that I'm wearing like blingy crap.
I mean, they kind of have that like Chanel sort of look to them. I know. Where they do that enamel with the
rhinestones. I bought them for at Disney World as a present for her first ear piercing. And then I found them near the sink downstairs because we're living in a tiny house.
If I don't get my daughter's ears pierced, she's going to go live with Dale. I'm not joking. She's so upset. And it's not
I
me.
Can't believe you've waited this long. I honestly can't because that girl is like, she is mini you. She walks around with a caboodle. She's got like, she's always putting, and we filled that thing to the brim for her birthday. I like bought her every kind of tacky makeup that God created. I was like, she literally was like wearing like curlers and like the whole bit. I don't even know how you've gone this long without piercing
them. She's been amazingly accepting because she, about it because I have said to her, she asked years ago, when did you get your ears pierced? And I said 7 because I thought I had years to like kick the can down the road.
Nope.
And she like saw a baby at this birthday party and she's like, Mom, that baby has its ears pierced. If she can get her ears pierced.
Cultural differences.
I said, she is Russian. They do it like when they're 3 months old and we are not going to do it.
Nope.
And then she's like, why? And I'm like, well, it's because daddy doesn't want you to. But also I keep throwing these excuses out at her, which aren't totally excuses. I'm like, if you can't remember to pick up your shoes and put them away, how can I expect you to clean those and like do the right things with them? Because I get mine so infected. I have like a whole hair wrapped around both earrings.
Oh my God,
like,
I know. And that's so gross. It's so weird.
I think I need to get my second hole re-pierced. I need to get my second hole re-pierced.
What's
they
up?
Call it the Prince
Whoa,
Albert.
When you are above 40, you'll do about anything, won't you?
I can't feel it. Should I have felt that?
I don't think anybody needs to be vaginalizing me. I think they would literally quit.
They should. A doctor who delivers babies and does piercings could probably double up because you can't, once you've got the epidural.
Why would Kristen's you pierce it down there?
I don't know.
I don't understand.
You know, people do. I don't know why you get your
people
nipples
do it.
Pierced either. Oh.
You want to see me pass out. Don't tell The Amazing Race.
It's also very hot here.
It is very hot. The Amazing Race would be something that I would like to be on, but I also can't do any piercings. You can't ask me to, and I can't eat anything weird, and I'm not great at math. All of these things make me a terrible partner.
Well, I can't stand the heat, so.
You know what we would be good at?
What?
Travel. That's their biggest problem on that show is they get to like the kiosk and they're like, how do we get from city to city to city and do it in under this amount of time? And I think you and I would be like, first of all, you avoid DIA, Denver Airport altogether. You go through Phoenix.
We're going to get laid over. Then
like getting in an Uber and getting our, I think we would do well at that.
Yeah. Well,
the rest of it, I would shit the bed, but I would make for great television because I would probably actually shit the bed. It'd be great.
Yeah.
Sign us up. Amazing Race.
One of us would be like, listen, you got to go climb that mountain because I've got my period like big and bad today. And I'm not.
I do have my period big and bad, y'all. That's where I'm wearing my orange jumpsuit. It's saying caution.
Danger.
Don't come anywhere near me. Don't come anywhere near
Warning.
Me. Warning. And on top of it all, I would just like to say, we've been traveling. We had a great time in Omaha doing
such a good time. We did
a
live.
Yeah, we did a podcast live, which would probably already have aired by now.
Oh yeah, so it was great.
It was great.
It was amazing.
Yeah. It was so fun. We did it at the Benson Theater in Omaha. Big shout out to them. That area is really
gorgeous,
like, growing and beautiful. And we had a great audience, and it was so fun to take pictures with everybody. We had a good time. The rest of it was spent with my family. I'm home now, and I'm de-stressing. I'm unwinding.
DJ's Dugout, which was a good time.
Yeah, DJ's Dugout. I drank 14 vodka tonics.
Yeah, something about a weird blue-colored 16-ouncer that felt right.
Jen had a drink in front of her that was literally, like, as tall as her.
Yeah.
It looked like an optical illusion.
I needed
illusion.
A bendy
and then
this, straw
Then the
it.
Second one came, and I was like,
well,
see you later.
The first one was so big, and I was alarmed by it that I did share it with 2 people. And then the second one came, and I don't remember ordering it. And I was like, I can't.
You gave
somebody,
it to
somebody. Yeah.
All I know is that it was so blue. I was like, if you barf that up, you're not anything you're wearing is going to the wayside.
Yeah, it's like when kids get those like really cheap cupcakes at a party, and then they poop blue and stuff.
Yeah, poop blue, pee blue, whatever. it's, you know.
Super healthy, I'm sure.
Super healthy. How are you guys doing with all of your fitness? We're doing great.
Yep, I'm having coffee, yay. So if you hear that.
So on top of all the stress and everything that we're doing, I got a summons for jury duty.
Now, I am very impressed that you didn't send. I did too about a month ago or 6 weeks ago.
And what'd you do?
There is a stipulation on the back that I remember when the kids were little that if you're a full-time caretaker for a child under five, you're just out. Well, at the time, it was the middle of summer, and I didn't have
help. Right.
So I had part-time help, but I still had to work. So I said, I just wrote in the letter, and I said, I want to be excused because I have two kids. I put their ages, so I wasn't like lying or anything. And I said, they're not in school. I don't have childcare.
Clearly, you're not married to somebody that goes, Kristen, it is your civic duty.
Oh, shut up. I knew civic duty was gonna
civic duty.
Up.
Dropping that. And you know what? He believes it. He really does believe it. He is that person. He believes. And so I'm like, I can't push for church if he can't push for jury duty. And they both feel exactly the same. Unfun.
I did
looser at jury duty, honestly.
I did my civic duty. I was married to a cop. So that is
first time around. First time starter around. Husband yeah. was a cop.
But actually, that is, I went into jury duty and I like made it all the way to like the very end. This was back in Omaha. And I remember I was like, they gotta let me go. Like they can,
right.
They can probably smell the booze on me. I was like 24.
Yeah. Like I shouldn't make any decisions about anybody's property line or their criminal insanity. Nothing.
Totally. Like, and the worst part about it was I made it to like the final 15 or 16.
That's hard.
Yeah. No, I know. I have no idea how because I was asking questions. It was a capital murder case, which number one would have been the next like 2 years of my life probably to do this. But it was like a drug deal gone bad. Do they go well? I don't know.
No.
It was absolutely like a TV show, which reminded me, I have to tell you about this amazing TV show that we're going to love.
Okay.
But so they were asking all these questions, and I know there's like this.
So they had you on like on a stand, and they were like, "What do you call that? Like
voir dire?
Voir dire?
Isn't it called voir dire?
Voir dire? But I thought it was also they get that thing where they can exit you without any reason. They can just look at you and go, "We would like to ask juror number seven to leave, whether." Yeah. It literally could be any what is that called?
Yeah. My husband said he was on a jury like that. I can't think of what it's called, but he's like, there was a guy next to him that had so much like dandruff and earwax. He was like, they're going to for sure let that guy go. And he goes, you know who they let go? Him.
Was he the one with the dandruff for the earwax? He's like, what the hell, man? What the hell?
That guy's going all out with this elaborate costume.
What is it called? It's when
jury selection.
It's jury selection. And there is
voir dire.
But there's another name where they can just like – anyway, Casey's looking up the legalese.
I think they can kind of dismiss you at any point. But so
yes.
I got very far into it because
– I could see that.
They like –
I could see that.
They say like you can't lie. You know, you're like sworn in for it. So you really can't – like you've got to tell the truth. And so this was the part where I was like very – that was hard, and I was kind of pissed off because juries get really hyper-moral. They're like, we are here to do this thing, our civic duty. And so they get, like, unrealistic about what they really
think about their
sometimes.
Own moral compass or the natural inclination of people or if there is struggle among people.
So he asked this question. He goes –
Jenny.
Kristen.
You know that – our Super Bowl is coming up. What we
Mother's
like to do.
Day.
Mother's Day. It is approaching. And might I just say, it is also our 10-year anniversary, which is kind of exciting.
So send us flowers, everybody.
Wait, send us flowers. It's weird. We're going to tell you how to do that just right now. If you're still trying to figure out what to do for Mother's Day, look no further than Teleflora. It's a really great choice when you want to send something that feels genuinely thoughtful. Their bouquets are made by local florists and hand-delivered instead of just being packed up and shipped in a box.
I love Teleflora. You know, when I send your mom flowers, and I do believe I owe her some flowers right now because I need to send her some for Mother's Day.
Don't you do it before I do it.
What I do, I always use Teleflora because they're made by like local artists. I know it's going to get there on time. I know it's going to be beautiful. Just sending your mom flowers really like gives your mom, who's always feeling like, am I doing this right? Flowers are like, love you, mom. You are doing a good job. Here's the one day I'll remind you.
Use promo code IMOMSOHARD20 for 20% off bouquets now through Mother's Day. Again, that's teleflora.com, promo code IMOMSOHARD20.
He goes, do you think that somebody who is on drugs is more likely to commit a violent crime than someone not on drugs? And I'm like, yeah, obviously. And I like,
did they all go, well, you don't know. Like, no, somebody can't handle their drugs and then they don't kill people. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
And he was on meth. I like looked around.
I would just be like, he did it. We can go home.
I know. Well, I looked around. I wanted them to ask, you can't say I disagree with the death penalty too. If you do or if you don't. And at the time, I don't remember where
that's
I was.
That's weird. They asked you that up at the front?
No, they say it's not an issue because you're not there to decide the punishment.
Actually, in capital crimes, I think that the jury can, vote for the death penalty, but it has to be unanimous. Well, I don't know where I'm getting all this. My husband's dad was a lawyer. I used to pretend to be a lawyer. But
we watch a lot of true crime, you guys.
We do. But I believe it depends state to state if the death penalty is in place if the jury has to decide for the death penalty, if it can be if it has to be a decision from the jury, I think.
At the time in Nebraska, I believe so that is not on the jurors because it's such a heavy load.
Yeah, that makes sense. It should be state by state.
Innocence, and then the judge gives sentencing.
Gives sentencing. Yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
Based on the guidelines. So, which I appreciated, but I was also like, I don't know. I'm always like, he's got a mom. You know, yeah. He's like, he probably didn't mean to start out that way. But I look around to see if anybody else is reacting to this question. And everybody's like, just not doing anything. So I'm like, either they're checked out or they're lying.
Which then you're like, people, snap into it. What the fuck?
I swear.
If I'm sitting in that chair, you better look alive, man.
For sure. That's what you want is somebody who's like critically thinking at the time.
So I'm eye contacting with all of them. Like, look at me. I look nice, right? Right, right.
I raised my hand and I kind of irritated me because I could see the attorney like eye roll a lot. But I was like, let's not act like
we don't. He eye rolled at you?
Yeah.
How dare he?
Yeah.
Hi.
He was like, you, the boozy smelling one.
Guilty of being a dickhead. Yeah, one that smells of blue drink and margarita. What would you like
to
say?
You with the blue lips. What do you? So
the one
I said,
wearing
I go,
the bar T-shirt.
Are you asking if like me, like somebody on drugs, is more likely or less likely than me, stone sober, to commit a violent
crime?
They're
like, ma'am,
you're overthinking.
Yeah, ma'am, are you stone sober? Well, but there's. So what was his answer?
He said, yeah. So I was like, then yes, I believe that somebody on drugs is more likely to murder somebody. And then like two people raised their hand after I had done it, which, and then I could tell that I was like on his list, but then they went around, which I thought was kind of asshole. And I was like, well, here it goes. They said, do any of you have any personal association with the police department? And I was like the third one in, and I was like, I'm divorced from a cop. And he goes over and like chit chats and he's like, you're dismissed. So
please look up what that word is. It's going to make me insane.
Wait, what?
I can't find it.
Where they can release. Yeah. Google like the attorney's privilege to release a juror in jury selection. And I'll bet it comes up. It's going to make me insane.
I mean, at that point though, I was like, you all need me.
Yeah.
You need me up
Jen's
here.
Jen's like, that's fine. There's a happy hour right around the corner and I'm going to. It's called the
courthouse.
You guys
come over afterwards. I already know all the information about the case.
We can break down this case. I'll help you. And they'll sequester
you. You're thinking real critically. You're just kind of like following. Because you want to like, it's weird. You want to please the attorney or whatever.
It is weird. I do have a humdinger of a jury story. And I think you've heard this. But it sounds fake because it's kind of unbelievable. When I first moved to LA, I'd never been summoned to a jury before ever in my life. So I didn't know how any of that worked, but I got the notice and they make it sound scary. There's like big red lighting writing and they're like, if you fail to show up, you could be issued a bench warrant. And I'm like new to LA, new. Like I am 23. I just started waiting tables. I think I had I'd moved out here to work as an actor. So I was getting a few auditions for commercials here and there, but most of it was like free shit through Backstage West, just trying to make my way, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, barely made my bills because I was waiting tables at Clancy's Crab Shack. Like, things were not great. I had just, like, I was very sick for like 2 weeks when I first moved here from a terrible UTI, not from sex, from stress, whatever. So I was broken. I was like, I'm going to have
duty to make it home.
Exactly. And I was like, I'm going to have to move home, but I can't because my car broke down. That's where I'm at in my life.
And let's be honest too, by the way, nobody gets one of those official mailings and is like, well, my conscience is so clean about everything. I'm like, for sure, I got one of those tickets where they take your picture.
Totally.
Gone through the rod.
Or 100%.
Like, you just start sweating.
I start sweating and I also go, they're going to find me. They're going to know I'm going to mess this up. It's also very intimidating because I got one for downtown LA, which is like big skyscrapers and no GPS. We did Thomas Guide. So it was like a phone book was your map system to the courthouse.
Yeah.
So they're like, go report to this room at said time.
And LA, they need jurors too. They'll be like, there's a guy named Randy. He's going to pick you up. He's 100%.
100%. But I was so broke and I had to take a day off of work. And I was literally, but in my head, because my parents are the same way, I'm like, this is my civic duty. I didn't know that I didn't even try to get out of it. I just wanted to go do my part. And yes, I sort of believe the same thing. So I went down to the courthouse. I'm sitting in this big room. We're not supposed to talk. I read literally every part of a newspaper. I've never done that since. I'm in this big room and all of a sudden I realize it's Judge Ito from the OJ case. And the OJ case had happened like 6 years prior.
Yeah.
And it was Marsha Clark was the lawyer.
Holy cow.
No.
Did you ask for autographs?
I start sweating. And also I'm like, this is a courtroom drama.
Hooray for Hollywood. I'm doing Hollywood.
Whoa. And it becomes even more of that. So we go through this thing.
She's way too eager
I'm like shaking and vibrating. I feel like I'm going to be cast in a courtroom drama. I 100% think this is a SAG job.
Do you think there'll be television cameras in here for this?
Yes, I was like, where do I keep my eye line? I just need to know. Will this... Can I put this on my resume? So I'm like a cat on a hot tin roof. Okay, first of all, we all know I'm ADD. At the time, I'm 23. So I'm 23 and ADD. I'm a contained animal at this point. I don't know what to do with myself, but I am looking at people that I had looked at for hours on end.
Yeah.
And I was such a fan of Marsha Clark. I know that's weird, but I just was watching all of this go down. So I'm eyeballing them. And meanwhile, Judge Ito is interviewing each person. And he says, can you serve on this jury today? And the fool would say, no, I cannot. And he's like, who's your employer? And he would say some like deep cut company, right? Like, Shingles 427. And he goes, oh, Shingles 427 is owned by Home Depot. And Home Depot issues 12 working days at this rate for jury duty. You are available for jury duty. Now go sit down. And I was like, oh God. So anybody who tried to ask not to be on a jury, he just shot it down and made them sit. And in my head, first of all, this is what he says. He goes, ladies and gentlemen, we will be selecting a jury today for capital murder. And this is what he said. This is a case. This case is a real whodunit. Welcome to Hollywood.
I read that book that Vincent Bugliosi wrote, and he's like, Ito was so in love with those cameras. He was like,
he made it dynamic. At least I recognized him as my other principal actor.
Judge Judy's making all this scratch, and he wanted in on it.
You know
what? I don't blame him.
Say what you want. He was a charming lead. So
you know what I bet would have gotten you out of it? Go and be like, I can't serve. I got a felony warrant.
No, that's not what got me out of it. I'll tell you what got me out of it. Because he told me about the case, and it was the saddest case I've ever heard.
No.
So, of course, it was a young man who was charged in the murder of his wife. And the only witness they had was a three-year-old. And that three-year-old is now seven. And she was going to have to testify.
No.
And then the man that was sitting there.
How can she testify,
I know. I had so many questions, Jen. And then the kid, he's a kid. He's like 25 years old and he's sitting there and he can't speak English. And so he's looking around the room like he is lost. And then he catches eyes with me. And then I make the decision that he is innocent. In my head, based on our eye contact, he is innocent.
And see, I'd have been like guilty. Statistically, I know. There's no way you didn't do it.
I know. You and I had very different opinions about the podcast Serial. Don't even get me started.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going through this line and Judge Ito, I get to Judge Ito. And in my head, I'm like, I will serve on this case. If I am chosen, I will be the best juror this courtroom has ever seen. And then I start doing the math and I'm like, but I will have to move back to Nebraska because I will have no money.
I know.
And I will go broke and I will get bad credit and I won't. I mean, I'm so screwed. So it gets to me and he goes, is there any reason that you can't serve on the jury? And I started crying.
And then but what did you say?
I was like blubbering and I was like, Judge Ito, first of all, I'm a big fan. And secondly, I want you to know that
Marcia, I believed in you
the whole time, and I love your haircut. I love your haircut. And third, I would just like to say that I just moved to Los Angeles, and I am barely making it. I'm working at Clancy's Crab Shack. I don't know if they support jury duty, but I work off tips. I also am like a struggling actress, and I'm trying really hard to make it, and things are really hard, and getting an agent in this town is really hard.
He goes,
you're excused.
Aww.
And I go, I am. And he goes, yeah, my brother's an actor. And then he goes, I'll excuse you on one condition. And I said, what? And he said, I believe I'm going to see your name in lights in 20 years.
Oh, my.
So then they were like, can we please remove juror 147 as she is bawling so hard and trying to hug Ito? And not to be weird or creepy or full circle, but this is about 20 years after.
Oh, my gosh. Isn't that cool? Judge Ito, you're a psychic. So
he's just like, I think, and literally I was doing extra work. And I was like standing next to this man. And I was like, what are the odds that? And he's like, I'm Judge Ito's brother. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, he's
no,
not. Yeah,
no.
I met Judge Ito's brother. I'm going to take it even one step further. This is how weird this story is.
I know how what she means by one step further is she's going to take an Ambien. She's going to look him up on Instagram
You've
and send him
that.
A really long message.
So doing that tonight. Oh, my God. We got to get Judge Ito on this podcast.
I would love that.
Okay. So fast forward. I had done some commercials and Finn was about 4. And Finn was born with this super perm, like the curliest, tightest curl. And it was like blonde, but also just like dark and thick, permy, big, round Rue McClanahan hair, right?
Yes.
And my agent, my commercial agent, had heard that this show was looking for a young boy with curly hair and said, does Finn want to try doing this? And he booked it, and it was to play Marsha Clark's son in the O.J. Simpson TV show. So if you watch that in the credits, Finn is sitting there looking at Sarah Paulson for like – he's in it for 30 seconds. And at one point, he's like looking at her, and she's supposed to be stressed out. And he was like – he's like, you're funny. He's like doing bits with her, and she was not in the mood, and it was hilarious. But that is like my weird – full jury duty.
No coincidences,
right? Isn't it the weirdest thing?
No coincidences.
It's the craziest thing.
Universe.
And I now have been summoned to jury duty. God, why can't
jury
I say?
Jury duty?
Jury duty. Let me tell you who should never serve on a jury.
Yeah.
I have been summoned again. And so every night at 7 p.m., I call because it's my civic duty, but there is a big part of me that's crossing my fingers because I'm going to have to serve.
There is a time and a place I will do it for sure, but it's not in the middle of summer when I don't know where to put my children.
It is a big ask to ask people to serve on a jury and you get like $50 a day or something. It's like,
it's not like if companies had to pay you your wage, which I think they should.
Some do. Ask Ito. He'll know. I mean, he just put it to these people. They were trying to get out of it, and he was like, absolutely not.
Okay. Can I tell you the show that
– Yes, please.
Okay. I know we have to do like a hot flash and a mom box.
Why don't you make this the hot flash? Or I'll see your show.
It's about, well, it's not about jury duty, although it's not.
That's just not a show that would sell, in my opinion.
Well, okay, here's what it is. I almost could not get to sleep last night because I'm so obsessed with this now. It's called Reasonable Doubt.
Yes.
Have you watched it?
Yes. One.
So good, you guys. Okay, here's what it is.
I don't like it because then I think we've done it wrong. I'm like, I'm walking around murderers and everybody's wrong. Incarcerated.
That's the reason why I'm like, you know, not everybody, we shouldn't just blanket, you know, go, well, they did it.
You mean don't make decisions based on how somebody looks while you're in a courtroom just eyeballing somebody? You just automatically make a decision about their fate? Don't
right.
do that?
Yeah, okay. Don't just assume that they murdered somebody because they're on meth, although I do.
Yes, I do too. I do. Okay, so what episode did you watch?
So I watched, like, I jumped around a little bit because so let me tell you guys what it is, and then you have to watch it.
Oh my God, it's
Reasonable
so
Doubt.
Good.
It's on ID. It's not on Hulu, so I don't know what.
Yeah, it's on Hulu.
Okay, so it's a former investigator and a prosecutor get together to look at old cases where somebody's been convicted.
I just got goosebumps.
They sit down with the family or the people who think that they're innocent, and they give their best arguments for why they still believe this person is innocent. I get chills too.
I know.
So sometimes they will say, which the very first one I watched, they said, we think there's reasonable doubt here and it needs to get looked into more. And we're going to pay for a private investigator to explore their defense more.
Oh my God.
And then I was like, well, I want to see one. I was hoping I would find one where it wasn't like that. And they said,
where the family was wrong,
where the person was wrong. In this case, it was a friend of this woman, and they sat her down and they said, we think you don't know her because you believe that she wasn't capable of doing this. And all signs point to
her.
So they don't, you know, investigate it further because they're like, jury did their due diligence duty, and the prosecutor did theirs. So but it is riveting because it's like, if you watch true crime, you'll love this because it's all the what ifs get explored in a way they don't really have time to do without Hollywood money. You guys got to watch it. So I've only seen two of them, but I'm going to watch the rest like tonight and not do anything for the rest of the week.
Nothing makes me happier than the idea that people could collectively, collectively like unpack a cold case and go back and relook at it with fresh eyes and come up with something new. That is just like, that is a boner.
Yeah.
That is like true crime boner time.
You're in that orange.
I'm in, and it's a very loose fitting linen.
And I've had a blue drink. So.
You know, what are you going to do?
Should we do a hot flash?
Let's do a hot flash. Okay. Okay, so besides Judgeito, which I think goes without saying that he's my, like, hot flash.
Yeah.
I want to give a big shout out to Brendan Fraser, who's having a moment. Okay, so this guy, Peter Burke or something like that. Let me go back. So my hot flash today is Brendan Fraser.
Okay, you're going to die when you hear who I was going to do. I'll tell you later.
First of all, if you didn't see Encino Man when it came out and –
I live
First
in
of all,
Encino.
I have a,
I've watched it since.
Okay, I have had a Tarzan thing.
Oh yeah,
forever. Have, so he's Encino Man, and he's also George of the Jungle. So you know, me and Brendan Fraser have had many romantic nights in my brain together. So he is so charming. He's such a good actor. Right after Mummy 3 or whatever, you know, he's kind of like this, like. Yeah. Good looking, like fit, like guy, like Harrison Fordy kind of guy.
He just was making all kinds of scratch too.
And he's married at the time and he injures his back, not like a little bit, not like, oh, my back hurts. He had to have 4 surgeries. And so he was in a lot of pain. And then he went to an awards night and there was a man who's the president of the Hollywood Association Foreign Press. I'm not going to say his name because why do we need to give, like, you can look this up. You should look this up. You should read his name because he never copped to it, but it was a known fact that this man sexually assaulted Brendan Fraser at a party. And it really fucked him up. He like retreated. He had all the signs of trauma. He became incredibly depressed. He went through a ton of stress. He went through a huge divorce. It caused him to gain weight, and it also caused him to lose all of his hair. Like not just like male pattern baldness, like he was broken, and like he dipped out, and then all of a sudden, so while this is all happening, Darren, I'm going to say his name wrong, Aronofsky, he's a director, real hit and miss for me, directed The Wrestler, but also directed Black Swan, loved The Wrestler, thought Black Swan is weird. Like, I liked it, but I was like, okay, he also directed something else recently that I was like, boo, Mother. I was like, big thumbs down. But I think he's kind of a genius. Anyway, he was trying to find the lead of this movie for 10 years, and then saw this random deep cut movie that Brendan Fraser was in that was like a Brazilian movie. And he's like, there's my guy. All of a sudden, Brendan Fraser is the lead in this movie called The Whale, which I can't wait to see. And it just debuted at the Venice Film Festival. And Brendan Fraser was given a 6-minute standing ovation. Aww. And like, everybody's been rooting for him and wanting to see him okay. And like, he kind of let it all just be open. Like he looked rough. He was having a rough go. He owned it. Yeah. He wasn't flashy about it, like, this is my journey. He was just like, I'm really having a hard time. And now he was – and so you have to watch this 6-minute standing ovation, because he is moved to tears. He is so humble. You see him like – he doesn't know what to do with himself. He's just like kind of patting his suit down and like standing there for 6 minutes. It's the most glorious thing. If you don't – if you watch that and don't get a tear in your eye, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what.
Well, I always – people in Hollywood that you like fall in love with, and it's certainly him, you kind of grow up with him a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, he's a little bit older than you. He's like the cool guy. So it's always, it feels bad for us to see them kind of like out of the limelight. You just want to know that they're doing great. That's the one really great thing about Facebook is from high school, you're like, everybody's kind of okay. That's
everybody's
good to know.
Okay.
I can rest better knowing that. Yeah, that's
a good
case.
Point. Like, you wouldn't be upset if he didn't want to be in movies anymore. You just want to know he's okay. And he like kind of wasn't okay.
And I think that's like, it's the tragedy that I would feel for somebody that, you know, not as deeply that I knew, because you just want him to be okay. And that's, it has to be like, on all the levels for a man, it must feel even,
I think, it
differently or harder to come out publicly about it.
I think that is something that happens in Hollywood to men, and it happens to women. And I don't think predators are discerning. I think they will take their shot wherever they can, because they're evil. And he wasn't, I don't think he was taken care of. I think everybody acknowledges now that like he kind of came out with this in one article for GQ. He was very cool about it. Like he just said the thing that everybody needs to say if it happens, that it happened. And so then he kind of got blacklisted, and like that was just such a poor move. But now he's having this like renaissance, and he's done 10 movies in 3 years. He's going to work with Scorsese. Like he's back on.
Good
so Brendan Fraser,
guy.
We root for you. We love you.
Well, and I don't, you know, that what I was saying about it being a male wasn't to like diminish
no,
it
I
for
get what
anybody
you mean.
Or whatever. But I think the thing is like this horrible thing happened. People are rooting for you.
Yes.
People want you to be okay, and they don't want you to be ashamed.
Right.
Because it's not – that guy should. That dude should be – let's give it to that guy.
He – you know, criminal charges were never pressed against him, and I'm – like, it's a litigious world we live in, so I'm not going to say his name, but he's a bastard. And like
– Yeah.
He did damage, and I think there's other people that came forward to say that they had the same experience with him. So predator is a predator. But at the end of the day, Brendan Fraser, like, is proof that, like, take it day by day. Things can get better. Things will get better. And I do believe, like, the people sort of spoke out and said, we want him. We want to see him. Where is he?
Yeah.
And if you get a second to go look at that video, do it.
Yeah.
Okay, do you have a...
Well-deserved.
Well-deserved, Encino man.
And thank you for that, Brendan Fraser, on behalf of anyone who's gone through that shit.
Yeah.
Thanks for being brave and telling your story. I am going to talk about a real dumb asshole right
now. Okay, great.
Our mom box this week. Every once in a while, I like to keep it real.
You guys, we like to share the ones. No, I don't want to encourage anybody sending me ones. They send me in a tailspin. I just want you to know
I want you to know. Yes, absolutely they do. Because I know this because Kristen responded at one point
to
this dipshit.
Oh, God.
No.
Look, am I allowed to say his name? Because he messaged us.
Yeah,
right?
Okay. Fuck it.
It's Andy Stapler.
Okay.
Hey, Andy Stapler sent us this first message, and I'm going to read it to you. This was back in July. Take two. I find your posts annoying. I don't know how I ever became your friend. Several days later, Kristen responded, then bounce, Andy. We're all good here. And he
is Andy my dad?
I don't know.
Just kidding.
1 month later, he said, yes, please bounce me. That would make my day. Of course, you won't because you enjoy being an annoyance. There's more. 2 days later, he replies to a story. I see you on my homepage nonstop. I don't know who you are or how we became friends, quote unquote. I really dislike your self-centered posts. Please don't harass me anymore with your posts. Please remove yourself from my Facebook page.
That's a boomer. I'm going to call it right now. That's a boomer.
Are you joking?
That fucker doesn't know that with one simple click of a button, we can be gone. It's not our job to navigate your page, Andy.
No.
Ask one of your fucking kids to do it for you if they're still talking to you.
I doubt it. And I honestly tried to message him back to say, okay, this is wasting too much of the sweet, precious life you have left. Let me talk you through this.
Yeah.
Let's have
Take
you
your
go
sleep
to the
apnea
main
mask
page.
Off and we'll help you.
Yeah, click on the blue thing, unfriend, unfollow. I can talk you through this. But then he blocked us from messaging. So guess what, Andy?
We've done our part.
You are just going to have to go over to MySpace because I can't help you anymore.
I'm going to start a whole thing called hashtag Andy. And it's just going to be anytime I want to feel really self-centered and I'm going to just explore this relationship. I need to get his phone number.
Yep.
I'd like to text him. I'd like to tell him, like, you know, what am I having on my pasta today?
I know. That's hey, this story is specifically for Andy Stapler. I'm having some lower back pain. I think it's a hormonal thing.
Right. My period is
a gusher to come along any moment.
Andy, I have
Stapler.
So much lip hair right now, sir. Sure, more than you do, Andy. So shove it up your ass.
Oh, God. Sometimes they're so funny to get, though. We know you enjoy
well,
them.
Well, one time we got one that was like, you both are lustful women. And I was like, ooh.
That's a
sounds like I got a
my
chance.
My husband doesn't say that.
Yeah, no. Yeah. My husband's like, you know, lust is a thing. I'm like, nah, Bible says not to do it. I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't lust. Let me get on TikTok. Just saying.
Yeah.
3 minute video. Everything's gravy in a 3 minute video. There's
That's
no
right.
like outside
just
world.
Cut to the chase.
Cut to the chase. I just see that guy like hammering through wood. I don't have a conversation beforehand that he was late to the wood or that he should bring a different axe or that axe was too expensive or what can't you just hang up the axe? I don't have any of that before and after crap. See what I mean?
That's a window into your psyche that I would like to close.
I think we
no
should.
No wonder all the Home Depot references today.
Hey,
and
what's
the
that?
Orange, what do you work there?
Yeah, I know. And the irony that I should. And a big shout out to Judge Ito because you're the coolest.
I think we podcasted.
We did. Bye.
We're done.